All right. This morning, what are we doing? It's kind of it's a small group. At the part of the service, we are going to share together the Lord's Supper. And Chris, if you're going to take that section, and Scott, if you're going to take that section, Bill, you're going to take that section, okay, when that time comes. And then after we take of the Lord's Supper, Bill's going to go around with a sack, and he's going to pick up the little cups. And so that way, kind of know what to do with the little cups rather than stand there and holding them. It's kind of uncomfortable. So that's kind of what the game plan is. But the game plan is also, let's just tell the story. In fact, let me go ahead and give you a few minutes to read out of your bulletin and check on what's happening there. In fact, I believe that we just got one portion of it. And today, we're going to be telling the story. We're going to be focusing in on two chapters of the Scripture. And under normal conditions, you would say, you're going to preach two chapters of the Scripture? Is that for today and tomorrow? And next week? If it's like Hebrews, and next year? Take just a few moments, though. I want you to read the Scripture, and we're going to see what your take is on that before we launch into this part of the message. When you're thinking about these words, what questions are coming to your mind? Who's doing the talking here? Yeah, Jesus is telling us of the story, and we see some of the words. Got King James Version, it's written in red. I like what Duck Dynasty, he says, if it's written in red, you better listen to it. Thinking about this, we learned something in our Sunday school class about a covenant. Right, Sherry? And Bill, because it's there's some. I tell you, truth is more amazing than fiction. If you would have read out of 2 Samuel our Sunday school lesson this morning, truth is more amazing than fiction. Anybody got any questions where we're headed? This is toward the end of the message. But is it pretty clear? You understand what the word covenant means? It's an agreement. Yeah, and it's agreement. It's kind of like a contract. It's between two parties. Covenant. What else? What else do you pick up on? In some areas of the world, when you start eating somebody's body, they think you're cannibal. So in the Christian church, all of a sudden you realize that we have a lingo that we have that many of the world, they don't understand. Eating the body, drinking the blood. Kind of a different concept. Any questions? If you want to follow along with me where we're headed, I'm going to begin with I'm going to pick it up with chapter 23. And the goal this morning is to say, what's happening? What's happening? Jesus was talking with his disciples, and as he was talking with the disciples in chapter 24, they walked outside and they looked around, and Jesus said, the disciples said, Jesus, look at this beautiful temple. And Jesus told these guys, you see all these stones? Not one of them is going to be left on the other. Not one. The disciples kind of got him over to the edge and said, when is all this thing going to happen? And Jesus began to tell them, don't be surprised. You're going to have wars. You're going to have rumors of wars. You're going to have false Christ. You're going to have people coming saying that they're the Christ. They're going to come from all over the world, and they're going to say, oh, Jesus is over here. Jesus is over there. He said, Don't believe them. Don't believe them. Because all those things are going to happen and many people are going to be misled. But he also says in verse 12, and said, and because of lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. I think we can experience part of that where people's love is growing cold. He went on to say that there's going to be perilous times, and he's telling us that there's coming a time in which there's going to be the abomination of desolation over in Israel. And he says, when these things happen, he says, don't go down and get your coat. Don't go back anywhere. He said, head for the hills. Because it's going to be such a terrible time. It's going to be so bad and so deceitful that even the elect would be wiped out or deceived. Basically, if it wasn't for my mercy, God the Father's mercy. It's going to get tough on even the elect. When he starts talking about the elect, he's talking about those who are born again. Talking about believers. So we're approaching the times. In fact, you know about the earthquakes over in Indonesia and about the people being killed as a result of the earthquakes. And you think about the fires out in California. And you think about the wars and the rumors of wars that were always on the break. So all these things, this is just the beginning. But in verse 29, this same chapter says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. So we see this big picture happening. When this kicks off, when the trumpet sounds, he's going to bring all these things together. And he says, how do we know this? He says, and then he told us a parable. He said, when the fig tree's leaves start turning green, you know summer is coming. Summer's right there. He said, all these things are going to be happening, and you're just going to be recognizing that this is just the beginning of what's about to happen. But he said, be ready. In verse 42 of chapter 24, it says, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this. If the head of the house would have known what time the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed the house to be broken into. For this reason, you should be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not know nor think you will. Do you live as though Christ would come back today? Do you know when he's coming back? I remember one time getting all these numbers and putting it together, taking some Old Testament figures, some New Testament figures, and I said, you know what? All of these numbers point down that Christ could come back in such and such a year. You know, we've had a lot of people who, he's not, okay? But I'm telling you, a lot of people have tried to say, Christ is coming back, and we know it's going to be right there. And in fact, Billy Graham thought that Christ was coming back. Did you know Paul in his day thought Christ was coming back in his day? That's 2,000 years ago. Do you believe, are you working as though he's coming back today? Is there anything in your life that you would change? If you were living with that certainty that he's coming back. And then he goes on to tell him the stories, Chris. He says, let me tell you the story. And this is found in chapter 25. In chapter 25, it talks about the parable of the 10 virgins. These ladies. There was 10 of them. These virgins. They were ready to be married. And all of a sudden, the groom was getting everything ready. And they would make this procession through the city. And he would go and he would get his bride, and these virgins, and he'd take them back to the house, and then they would be married. Oh, it was great. These 10 virgins were all set up. They were happy. They were excited. Today might be their wedding day. They didn't know exactly when, but it might be their wedding day. So they got so excited, and there were 5 of these that had their lamps all ready and had some extra oil, and there were 5 that didn't. Midnight comes along. The groom's on his way now. Get ready. They rose up real excited and they trimmed the wicks And all of a sudden, those that didn't have extra oil said, "Hey, give us some of your oil, because we don't have any." And the five wise virgins said, "No, we can't do that, because we may run out too." He said, "Y'all go off and get you some oil." That's logical. Y'all go off and get you some oil and come on back and get in the possession. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came. Five of the virgins went with him. And all of a sudden, when they saw what happened, they went and they started knocking on the door. "Let us in, let us in." And the voice comes from inside. "I never knew you. I never knew you." Wouldn't that be a sad thing? In which all of a sudden on your wedding day, but see, that's the way it's going to be with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't make preparations now, it can be too late. The doors are going to be locked. Well, let's just see what. Let's bring it up to date. Old Chris is not a... I speak to say you're not a virgin, okay? All right, I think that would be a true statement. Okay, absolutely. You got proof of that. Well, let's talk about your ability, okay? Are you ready to come? Are you ready for Jesus Christ to come back? That's the real question. So let's look. All of a sudden, we got this guy. He's got a lot of money. He's kind of a hard work. He's a hard guy, and he's going to go off to a country, and three were slaves, three of his people working for his company as a slave. He turns around and he gives one or two of them five talents of money, and he says, "You know, you take care of this till I come back. When I come back, then you give me back the money after you worked with it." Okay, is that fair enough? And let's just say you had five talents. You got all kind of ability. Now, Scott over here, he's not as bright as you are, okay? And Scott's over here, and he's got two talents. And the reason why he gave him two talents is because that was his ability. He gave you five talents because of your ability. Gave you two talents because of your ability. And then there's Gene. And he reaches over there to Gene and he gives Gene one talent. Okay? Now, if Gene multiplies that one talent, is that good? If Scott multiplies the two talents, is that good? Is Chris, if he multiplies the five talents, is that good? Yeah. Are you expected to do more than the five? You got more ability. You got less ability. You got less ability. So what does God want us to do with what we have? Use it to the best of our ability. That's what he's asked us to do. Man, all of a sudden, boss man goes off and he comes back a few months later. And then the guy with five, old Chris walks up and he says, "Here's five talents. I took five and made 10 out of it." Wow. He said, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Come on into my house, into the joy of the master. You've been faithful over few things, I'll make you faithful over many. You did good." Oh, Scott comes in. And Scott comes in and says, "You gave me two talents." He multiplied it by 100%. He gave him two more talents. "Man, you did a great job, Scott. So, because you've been faithful with these few things, I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Come on in to the joy of the Lord." Oh, Scott comes in. He's just as happy. Now, he did 100% of five, right? That's good. He did 100% of two, and that's good. Well, all of a sudden, old Gene over here, Gene says, "I know, boss man. I know, boss man. I know you're a hard man. So, well, I took your money, and I went and hid it out there next to the garden." And he said, "I knew when you come back, I know that you sow where you try to reap where you don't sow." And old Gene brings that money back. He said, "Here's your money." And you know what that boss said to him? He said, I'm not picking on Gene, okay, with this illustration. But he said, "You wicked servant. You knew I gained. What you should have done, at least you should have took the money and put it in the bank. And when I came back, I only had interest." And you know what he told him? "Kick him out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, with the Lord Jesus coming back here, he's telling us, what are we supposed to do until Jesus Christ returns? That's right. Be faithful with the ability of what you have. Gene was not supposed to make 5 talents. Just double the 1. Scott was not supposed to make 10. Just double the 2. God gives each one of us different abilities, and he holds us responsible till he comes. Well, we've had 2 illustrations basically here. We had 1 about the virgins. How many were wise and how many were foolish? 5 wise, 5 foolish. How many went into the marriage? 5. How many got kicked out, weeping and gnashing? 5. Okay, now we've gone in. Now those made preparation and they were ready. Now all of a sudden we've been given talents. Whatever the ability that God has given with us, he's given those talents that we should use those talents. But then he's going to come on back. The Son of Man, and when he comes back here, he's going to be speaking to us because he really trusted us. But all of a sudden, I want you to see happening in verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of his angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered and he will separate them. How's he going to separate them? As a shepherd separates them. He's going to put the sheep on one side and the goats on the other side. What does that tell us? When Christ returns, there are going to be those who are believers and those who are not. Who knows the heart of whether a person is a believer or not? God knows your heart specifically. And so there's no question about it. You may have been wise and made preparations like 5 of the virgins, or you may have used your abilities how God blessed you with, but when it comes down to it, there's going to be a separation. The sheep and the goats. The sheep are going to enter in and they're going to be rewarded. And why? How do you know who's in the sheep group? Well, if somebody's hungry, what are you going to do? If somebody's thirsty, what are you going to do? If somebody's naked, what are you going to do? If somebody's in prison, what are you going to do? If somebody's in perilous times, what are you going to do? You're going to help them out? Do y'all do these kind of things? Who you do it to? The believers or the non-believers? All of a sudden, the Lord Jesus comes up and he says to the sheep, y'all come on in, because I was hungry. And they say, when were you hungry and we helped you? When were you thirsty and we helped you? When were you a stranger and we took you in? When were you in prison and we came to visit you? When did you... Jesus said this. He said, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto who? You did it unto me. Well, when that comes into the picture, he turns around to the goats and says, y'all go to hell. Hey, I'm not being colloquialized. That's what he told them. And he said, why? Because I came unto you, I was hungry, and you did nothing. I was thirsty. You did nothing. I was a stranger. You left me out in the cold. I was naked. You didn't give me clothes. I was in prison. You never came to visit. When did you come, Jesus? Jesus said, when you do it unto the least of these, my brother, you do it unto me. And he says, y'all depart. Y'all go to the place that's prepared for the devil and his angels. Sheep and the goats. This judgment is so sure right there. That leads us over into chapter 26 because he wants us to be courageous. Now, okay, give me the summary statements. Now, we talked about 5 virgins and they were what? Wise and foolish, okay? 5. We talked about who? We talked about the talents, and then we talked about who? Sheep and the goats, okay, and the people who's serving, and which one are you in, and what are you doing, and what is known about you. Now, Jesus said, after I told you all of these things, you know, you don't know when I'm coming, but now, he says in chapter 26, verse 1, and it came about that when the Lord had finished all of these words, he said to the disciples, now you talking about chill coming over you. You know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up for crucifixion. You think you could have heard a pin drop when Jesus said, in 2 days, I'm going to be crucified. The chief priest and the elders of the people gathered together in the courts, and they were plotting. What can we do to this? And so the chief priests and the elders, they gathered again, they plotted, but they said, we're not going to take him during the festival because there'll be an uprising. Did you know Jesus knew what was about to happen to him? Yeah. Do you know it? Do you know the story? Do you know the story? Do you know how Jesus knew all these things were happening? Then secondly, he goes on to say in verses 6 through 13, and he talks about that he entered into the home of Simon the leper. And while they were in there, this woman came in with a little bitty vase, and Jesus was, he was laying out there with the other disciples, and they were sharing together. And she comes in, and when she opens up that veil, the room just fills up with this smell. And she pours it on Jesus' head. And when she pours it on Jesus' head, you know what's happening right there? Oh, what are those disciples? Are they even excited about Jesus because now the room is full because of Jesus? No. What happened to these guys? They got mad. They said, look, you could have taken this perfume. Some say the cost of that perfume was a year's salary. You could have taken this. But then Jesus said, wait a minute. Guys, y'all know what she's done? She has anointed my head for my burial. And one of the most amazing things, she said, wherever the good news is told, this woman is going to be remembered for the kind act that she did. 2,000 years ago, she did this. And today we talk about it. So what are we supposed to do? Live it. Act in a way that God puts it on your heart. Live it. You know what Jesus knew. And now this woman, not prompted by anybody, she came in and out of the love that was in her heart, gave the best gift that she had, and she prepared Jesus for that funeral time. During the course of this, it may all sound good, but I want you to know that there's bad people in the middle of good people. Judas Iscariot goes out and he goes to the high priest and the elders and says, what will you give me if I will turn Jesus over to you in a place in which you can take him without the crowd? What will you give me? And so they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. He took that money on. And he took that money on and he started looking for that time in which he could betray the Lord Jesus. What are we to do? We need to expose it. Folks, bad people live in the presence of good people. We don't like to hear that, do we? Bad people live in the presence of good people. Could there be bad people in this room right here? In the presence with the good people? It could be. How are you going to know? How are you going to know? Face value, you won't. But the Spirit teaches us that we can try the spirits. And we need to be praying that God would give us people of discernment. But in the course of this, I think Sherry brought it out this morning when we were talking about that you can't trust men. Men can fail you. But Jesus Christ will never fail you. We're living right here in this presence. So, therefore, they were looking around, and Jesus, the Scripture brings out, and around verse 15, and it says that after, what are you going to give me? And they were looking for a time. But then verse 20 comes along and says, now when it was evening, come, he was reclining at the table with his 12 disciples. What does he want us to do? It's coming down now to the end of life. Jesus wants to share the most precious thing that we can. The Passover's made ready. They're sitting around the table. Verse 21 says, truly I say to you that one of you will betray me. They became deeply grieved, and the Lord said, surely not I, Lord. And he said, verse 23 said, he who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is one who's going to betray me. The Son of Man is to go just as written of him, but woe to the man whom the Son of Man has betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, surely it's not I, Lord, not I, Rabbi. You're talking about a liar? Man, right there, face, you're talking to the Son of God, and your pocket may be genuine with the money. Surely it's not I, Lord. Surely it's not I. But Jesus said, you've said it yourself. What does he want us to do? He wants us to share something. Something so precious. And so when we're supposed to share it, share something so precious, Jesus came along and they were there. And he took this bread. Disciples were sitting around there and Jesus tore it and broke it in half, and he said to one of his disciples, he said, hey, I want you to take this and pass it around, okay? You pass around the section over here. And then he took it and he was passing it around and said, hey guy, why don't you pass it around there? And those disciples, I don't know that they understood what was happening right there. But they were passing it around. Take that bread and just hold it for a moment. And I want to pray with you. While they're praying, let's just stop where we are, okay? Just hold a moment. Lord Jesus, as we're preparing this bread that's being passed around right here, Lord, It's we're mindful of the body of Jesus Christ. And Jesus had his disciples right there with him. It was the last time that he would eat this bread and drink this juice until Christ was going to come. Oh Lord, as we're getting ready to partake of the body of Christ, Lord, if there's any sin within us, God, I ask you, forgive us right now of our sin. Lord, we're making ourselves ready to you. Thank you. As we partake of the body, Lord Jesus, bless. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue on past that. So amazing to me that Jesus was right there. They were looking at him. The body. Jesus knew that in just a few hours, he was going to be whipped. His beard was going to be plucked. His hair was going to be bucked. He was going to be slapped upon. His back was going to be opened up with his cat of nine tails. He's going to be ripped up. And God, you want to just put it right here? There. Be sure to get you some. Jesus told these guys, this is my body that's broken for you. He doesn't remember me. I don't know what all happened during that period of time. I know what we have record. I know we have the record that this body for us today, we are participating what they did some 2,000 years ago, and it's not changed. So when I think about the wise virgins, and I think about the working men, and I think about those who were faithful in what God gave them, and the sheep and the goats, just think, when you receive this bread this morning, the body of Christ, that's an indicator that you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's an indicator that when this time comes to the end, the sheep and the goats, that you would be in the sheep. It's worth working for the Lord Jesus. It's worth being prepared. But Jesus didn't stop there. The Scripture says that He continued on. And he took a cup and he blessed it. Scott, how about praying regarding the blood of Christ?
Father, we thank you so much for what Jesus did on the cross for us, Father. We just want to thank you so much for the spilling of blood and what it means to each of us, to each of us as Christians, Father. Without your blood being spilled, we could not have eternal life. Father, we want to thank you for that gift this morning. And let us always remember that it's through your blood that Jesus Christ did his best work. And we can't thank you enough for all the things that you did for us, but especially this gift of salvation. Father, help us to understand and to know exactly what it's about. In your name we pray.
And after that, the Scripture says he took that cup and he passed it around to these guys and said, y'all drink of it. He says that you're not going to drink. Help him out with that. He says, I'm not going to drink this again until that day, which I'm going to drink it in my Father's house. Now, what we understand about this is that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. So when we partake of this blood, we're mindful that this is what Jesus Christ has done for us. The blood never loses its power. No doubt the disciples, they could not have had a clue of what was happening until later years. And then when they thought back about that night, that precious moment with the Lord Jesus, it all made sense. Blood. Blood of Jesus Christ. You know, that's our only hope. Because if the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't cleanse us, folks, we're not going to be cleansed. Jesus shed His blood on Calvary's cross. He paid for your sins and He paid for my sins. That's what the blood does. And so when we share together, we're sharing that very special moment.
Devotion, adoration, with worship's up. Thank you, guys. I don't know what happened after this, except for one record. I do know after this record, after they had shared the body and the blood, it says, and they departed that night, and they sang a hymn. Then as they sang a hymn, they headed out, and they were going to go into the garden. And it was there Jesus would pray, and he would pray, "Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done." Within just a few minutes from that time, there were a group of soldiers that met him along with the representatives from the Sadducees, the chief priest, and Judas Iscariot. And Judas walks up to him and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him on the cheek. Jesus looked at Judas and said, Do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" They reached out there and they grabbed him. Simon Peter, being the man he was, pulled out his sword, struck the high priest. It cut the ear off the high priest. And Jesus said, "Put your sword up, Simon. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword." Jesus reached down and took that ear and healed that servant. And then they took him away. Courses of what Jesus went through. Painful. Ultimately, the cross. And Jesus died on the cross, but that's not the end of the story. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And now he lives today. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're mindful of the story. Let's tell the story, and let's tell it courageously. Let's tell the story because we know it. Let's tell the story with courage. Let's tell the story because we're wise and we're using the abilities that God has given us. Let's tell the story because we're part of the sheep and not part of the goats. Let's tell the story because Jesus said, "As often as you do this, remember me." Let's tell the story. On that night, Passover, when they got through taking the Last Supper, it says they departed with a hymn. I call it, maybe a new word that I like to hear is the word heart song. They had a heart song. And this heart song went to many, many different. In fact, when we were on the cruise, the music director said that he was over in Israel and they were in the garden. And they started to sing the song, "Alleluia," in English. And there was a group from Russia, and they sang, "Alleluia." And then there was a group, I believe it was from China, and then they started singing. There were several nations sang that song, "Alleluia," because it's the same in all languages. I imagine what the heart song would be. Coming from our tradition, maybe it would be "Amazing Grace." I'm going to introduce you to a version of "Amazing Grace" right here. If you'd like to sing on it, sing with it. It's coming from different voices, different backgrounds, because it's the amazing grace of God. This morning, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to be standing down here on the front row. You can come up and say, "Hey, look, I'd like to give my life to Jesus." If you'd like to follow the Lord in Scripture baptism, just let me know and we'll get the waters running. Or maybe you want to spend a few moments at the altar during this song. This is a good time for that, because the body and the blood makes it all worthwhile. Let's stand together and share this song.
sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Amazing.